Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800 CKLW. And I want to give a big welcome to our roundtable this morning as well. We have not one but two mayors in studio today. Pelee Island Mayor Kathy Miller. Kathy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Great to have you in here. Also, too, I want to give you a big, gigantic thank you for the beautiful flowers you sent me on Saturday night at St. Clair College for the alumni distinction. Thank you so much for that. That was a nice surprise.
Congratulations. It's nice when good people get honored, and I'm happy for you.
Oh, thank you.
I root for you.
That was a first, too. That was a first. John Fairley said no one has ever had flowers delivered to the award ceremony before. So we did something new there. Great to have you on the show, as always, Kathy. From the Daily Bungle, political consultant Paul Sinnott. Paul, you're representing some St. Clair, if I'm not mistaken. I see that logo on your shirt today.
Actually, I'll be going back to school in the fall, taking a data analyst course there. So
excellent.
Maybe I'm kind of gearing up a little.
Hey, yeah. Start here, go anywhere. I love it. Good to have you on the show as always, Paul. Last but certainly not least, I cannot wait to hit up the parlor. I'm excited. I'm like an ice cream man. That's the only reason I can't be a vegan is because of ice cream. LaSalle Mayor Crystal Milosh. Crystal, good morning.
Morning. Thank you for having me again.
Great to have you on as always. Really quickly, I was in a conversation with Mike K. Cook and Leah Hansen before the show, and they had one of my favorite people to talk to, Eric Alper, the music analyst, on, and he was talking about the Taylor Swift record that came out last night, and I thought, it's so funny, that's how you get canceled, which I'm okay with, I'm here for it. If you speak out against Taylor Swift anymore, like, the Swifties will come for you. How are we as far as the Swifties? are we Swifties at this table, yay or nay, or do you even want to say, because the Swifties are listening?
I will say, I think she's an incredible songwriter, she's extremely talented. She's a wonderful lyricist. She writes and writes all of her own music.
Yeah,
she's done it for years, and she's also a fiercely independent businesswoman, which
yes.
doesn't get commented on too
That's
often.
Very true.
So for all of these things, I think she's lovely. I am, however, not a fan of her style of music, but I absolutely respect her talent.
That's verbatim what I feel too.
Yeah.
I don't find there's something in an edge. I don't get it. Paul, are you a Swiftie, Paul?
Please
say yes.
I'm 58. I'm a 70s, 80s hard rock. You know, throwing a little bit of East Coast blue nose music.
Well, ain't nothing wrong with
music.
That.
You know, I'm open to a lot, but I mean, I couldn't pick one of her songs out from
it. Gotcha.
The same. I mean, I think she's a phenomenal artist. I think she's a phenomenal business person, and she's changing the industry.
That's the coolest thing, I think.
But yeah, a Swiftie. Probably not.
Yeah. Oh, if you would have said yes, though, that would have been the moment of the day on AM 800 right here. Mayor Milosh, are you a Taylor Swift fan?
You know what? I definitely can say I've jammed out to some Taylor Swift
sure,
in the
yeah.
past. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. I mean, when my girls were younger, they were Swifties, and we did go to one of her concerts. And I will tell you, since that day, I've been a fan of her as a person because she put on not just an amazing concert, but such a positive message for everybody who was there. Young, old, male, female. It was just such a positive experience. So it kind of did make me a fan of her as a person. I'm the same. Like, some of her music, I'm like, no, okay, maybe not for me.
Right,
but there's other songs that I absolutely love and I have memories too.
Yeah,
so.
That's great. I think that's cool. I hear she's a class act as well. She's very, very kind and nice and treats the people who work for her very, very well, pays them well. So... cool. I have respect too. I'm kind of with Courtney Love on this though. Did you hear what Courtney Love said?
I didn't. Tell
she
me.
Said, she said she's probably the Madonna of this era. She's bigger than Madonna ever was. I'll say that as a Madonna fan. But she said she's just very uninteresting as an artist. I'm like,
oh,
ooh,
Courtney
well,
Love.
Courtney's back in the news, that's for sure. But
yeah.
I kind of thought, well, like I like my artist with a bit more of an edge too. But I respect her. I think she said positive space for women too, which I agree with. She is absolutely and a great role model that way. Anyway, on to the news poll question today. I just want to get your take on Taylor Swift. Does your workplace have an automatic external defibrillator? This is a story that's going on right now. Essex Windsor EMS issuing a call to action, asking the public to help find the location of every automatic external defibrillator across the region and help get more installed. Defibrillators, or AEDs, electronic devices that can be used to restart a person's heart if it stopped beating. We do have one here in the building at the front. The question, does your workplace have one? My question, though, do you feel confident enough to use it? And something the same along the lines of Narcan or Naloxone. Confidence in using these things. We have the defibrillator. I know where it goes. I know its function. There's a little light telling me it works. But I got to say, if somebody dropped, you know, here, and this is me speaking totally truthfully, I would be really, really nervous to use the defibrillator. I would first instinct call 911, ask if anyone knew how to use it or CPR. But I don't really... I don't know how comfortable I'd feel hooking up wires to somebody and administering a shock if they were unconscious. I don't know. But Kathy, I know Pelee Island or the boat and whatnot.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this?
Actually, just met with Chief Lammers a couple days ago, and this was something that we were discussing, because I think any time you're, you know, in a remote location or an isolated location, or maybe even you're just out in the county and you're a good 15, 20 minutes away from an ambulance coming or whatever that looks like, you know, our first responders are telling us this is something that can save lives, and they have confidence in the ability of the public to be able to use to be able to use this equipment. However, what I will say, when I dug a little bit deeper on the Pulse Point website, which is, you know, it's an app where if you do have a defibrillator, you can register your defibrillator. But what it also allows for is that anyone who is CPR trained in the region to sign on to Pulse Point so that they get a notification if there's a call for help within a certain amount, a distance to them.
Oh, wow.
So it works both ways. So as much as you can find a defibrillator anywhere you're at, those first responders that might know, and I shouldn't call them first responders, but community
sure,
members
yeah.
that have CPR training that would be confident, like to your point, maybe someone who's near this defibrillator isn't confident.
Right.
This notification, if you activate it on the defibrillator, can activate back to all those people that are in the neighborhood and make sure that they get to the scene. So there, I think it's an extension of community care. Would I feel confident doing it? I haven't had CPR training, I must admit.
Right.
I feel I need to get that.
Me too.
And I think if I did, I might feel more confident.
I know I would.
Yeah.
I don't know how to do chest compressions. Like, I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I see it on TV, and that's not a good measure of. I'm not confident in that. But yeah, that's. I love that program though. Meaning, if there was an incident, you could call in a community member, could say, "I know how to use one, and I'm across the street. I can come over and."
Right.
That's theoretically how it's supposed to work?
Yes. I think, you know, it's one of these situations where you're seeing, you know, an app or technology actually be used for good, where we're building a community of people that are willing to help other people in the community.
Yep.
And the first responders in our region have confidence in it. So I think it's very interesting. It's something we're going to look at a little bit more closely, you know, in the township of Pelee, and engaging, you know, a couple of business owners on the island to see if they're interested in participating in this and make sure that we have our units registered.
Mm-hmm. I know, interesting. Paul, how about you? How confident are you with a defibrillator or such items?
I'm fairly confident. I mean, thanks to my time in the military, I used to be a first aid and CPR instructor, so I'm fairly familiar with it. The machines are actually dead bang easy to use.
Really?
The instructions are there. It will literally walk you through it. If you're on the line with the 911 operator, I'm not sure, but I would probably think that they would be able to help walk you through it as well with a particular unit. I love the app idea. I mean, Google showed us, you know, crowdsourcing works.
Mm-hmm.
So getting the data out there is an immense help. Bringing the awareness is worth it to really hype this issue for the next while. If you think of it, I think most workplaces at 5 or more employees or 10 or more employees have to have a health and safety committee. That's something that should be regularly reviewed. Have we had an orientation session with our defibrillator? Have we had classes on administering Narcan, Naxalone?
Yeah.
Those are things we get them and then kind of forget about them until we need them. And then everybody's like, oh, yeah, where's that defibrillator again?
Or
where's the Narcan? Well, that's the kind of thing. If you do it and review it on a regular basis, then it's muscle memory. Yep, bang, it's right here.
Yeah.
So it's the crowdsourcing, I think, is great, making people aware that it's there. And then that bumps the interest up and maybe gets more people involved.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Mayor Milosh, your thoughts on how comfortable would you be? Do you have CPR training?
I don't have CPR training, but the way I look at it is most of these devices are located in businesses where there's more than two or three people, right?
Right, yeah.
And so the chances of someone knowing how to do it are probably pretty high, or at least, like you said, when you call 911, dispatch can walk you through those steps, and it's a life-saving device.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm all in favor of it. I love the idea of the app, you know, that I really think what Chief Lemire is doing right now is trying to get more information out there and trying to get more businesses to jump on board so that we know that there is a life-saving device within so many minutes of somebody. We can't always rely on EMS. And I think that's the big note we're supposed to take away from this is, you know, they're busy. There are times that they can't get to the call within, you know, 2 minutes, and that could save a life.
Yeah.
So would I be confident in doing it? I think I would. I think when you're in that situation, I mean, who knows? But at the same time, I think I've seen the device. I've seen someone walk through it before, and it does seem like it is pretty step-by-step and basic, but I guess until you're thrown into that situation, you really don't know.
You don't know, yeah.
But I do love the initiative. I do think it's going to be something great. We just got to get people now to download the app.
Yeah, exactly, and that's a tricky one. It's funny, the only time I ever came close to this was I went out for a shot of vaccine a couple years ago, and they gave me at the clinic, they said, do you have a Narcan kit, and have you been Narcan trained? I'm like, I haven't, actually. And they gave me this little kit, and he gave me a quick little, here's how you do it, step A, B, C. And I'm not kidding you. I put it in my bag that I carry around with me. That day, I went downtown with a friend, and we saw this guy on a bench who was kind of slouched down in an unnatural position. And I thought, oh, boy, let's just go over and see if he's okay. So I said, hey, sir, are you okay? Unresponsive. And I said, oh, boy. So I put my hand in my bag, and I said, I think we should call 911, because I'm like, oh, my God, I got to administer Narcan right now.
Wow.
I hope I can remember what that was. I just got it that day. And I said, sir, are you okay? And I put my hand just to kind of give him a shake, and he woke up and came to. And he was completely fine. He was just sleeping. He was fine. He got up. He walked away. But I thought, wow, you just never know when you're going to be in that situation. But I was kind of like, it's do or die. Here we go.
Yeah.
Like the training I learned, I hope I was paying attention. You know what I mean? It's a scary thing because someone's life is – my intention was to call 911 and have them talk me through it because I didn't want to just start –
Yeah, you just give someone a shot.
Yeah, I just want to give somebody a random shot. Yeah. But even with that training, I was still a bit like, oh boy, here we go. I have the kit. It's go time. And I thought, I hope I get this right and I don't hurt somebody. So
both of them, like the Narcan, the biggest thing is there's no fear in using it because
it can't kill you.
Right.
It will have no effect on you. And the fiddlers are the same way. They detect the heart rhythm. So if you're not going to kill somebody, I mean, you're not going to push the button. It won't let you. If it detects a heart rhythm or any sort of pulse, it won't allow you to administer a shot.
This is comforting
to me. Yeah, doesn't that feel better?
The fail safes are built into the system.
Everyone in the building's like, well, don't have a heart attack around Dan.
But it's also important to know that there's Good Samaritan laws around a lot of stuff too, right?
Like, very comforting.
If you're acting in you know, with good intentions and you're doing your best to try and help someone, then, you know, you have to do that if you see it on the street or you encounter that in your business or anywhere you're at, wouldn't you want to be able to help?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. We're going to take a really quick break. We're going to come back with Mayor Kathy Miller, Mayor Krista Milosh, and Paul Sinnott from the Daily Bungle. Check it out if you haven't. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show. Don't go away. Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. Thank you so much for tuning in. You're listening to the Dan McDonald Show, our roundtable this morning. Pelee Island Mayor Kathy Miller, LaSalle Mayor Krista Milosh, and publisher of the Daily Bungle and political consultant Paul Sinnott. And Paul, we were just talking about defibrillators and CPR and naloxone. And I told my story about the day I got naloxone training. I almost thought I had to administer naloxone. And you said during the break you administer naloxone several times a month, I believe. And I'm curious to know, what is that like? When from the moment you have to assess, like, okay, I think this is a time for naloxone to administering. If you just what does happen? A lot of people do want to know what that process is like.
Not several times, every couple months.
Okay,
into somebody. And I had an incident before in the past too, when I lived in Ford City. I don't think I've actually had somebody who actually was in an overdose situation. Because they say that they actually come to quite quickly and sometimes
when
kind
you
of violently.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have never had that. But I mean, it's an abundance of caution whenever I do it. Like I said, I'll go out for a smoke break on the front porch, and there'll be somebody literally half naked, passed out on the sidewalk or on the road.
Right.
You try and wake them up, no response. So again, I mean, the training they give you tells you it doesn't hurt.
Right.
Then they administer it. Wait for police, fire, ambulance to show up to take over. At the very least, you will save their life. At the worst, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
I don't know. They might have a plugged up nose.
Sure.
But at least they're not dead.
And your kit? Do you just regularly stock your house with these kits?
I keep one. And you can get them. You go to Shoppers Drug Mart, mm-hmm. they'll give you a free replacement. They're easily accessible all over the place. I believe a number of organizations in the city will not only give you the training, you can go and fill up. It's worthwhile to have. It's not long. The training's, you know,
right.
half an hour, maybe an hour if you have a large group. A lot of the training is just dispelling the myths.
Right, yeah.
About overdoses and how the naloxone or Narcan works. It's pretty straightforward. It's like having a Band-Aid handy as well. It's just something to use.
What do the kits look like? What do they look like, the ones that you
Mine's
use?
Mine's a large one.
Are they the inhalers?
Like, kind of like a pencil case almost with a large red cross on it.
Okay, yeah.
I just keep it right at my front door.
Wow.
It's handy to have. And I mean, in a workplace or, you know, in your glove compartment of your car, it's someplace to keep it handy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a valuable resource.
The spray or the syringe? Which one is?
Mine's the spray.
Okay, yeah. The one I have, I have two actually, and they're both the syringe ones, which makes me a little bit more nervous because it's
needle.
A needle.
Phobic, so, I mean,
that's my thing too. It's a needle, so it, but again, life saving, right?
Right.
So, yeah. Yep. We got to take a really quick break. We're going to come back and talk a bit about the court of social media. This is a really interesting story about a hockey player originally from Belle River, and he had an encounter with someone. Pictures were taken. It was a sexual encounter, consensual sexual encounter. Pictures were taken and shared. The identity of the person, of the woman involved, was revealed. And, he paid some fines. Also, the court of social media. We'll talk about this when we come back. Keep it here. It's the Roundtable on the Dan McDonald Show. But we have Mayor of Pelee Island, Kathy Miller, Mayor of LaSalle, Crystal Melosh, and from the Daily Bungle and political consultant Roundtable regular Paul Sinnott in studio. And this is an interesting topic. We're going to talk a bit about it in the 10 a.m. too. But, days to go into the NHL draft, Daily Faceoff, an online publication, learned multiple teams have placed a prospect, Logan Mayu, he's from Belle River, on their do not draft list. He was charged in Sweden for taking and distributing an offensive photo without consent during a consensual sexual encounter last November. So this happened a few years back. He was 17 at the time. She, the woman he was with, was 18, so she was not a minor. And what happened was, he had this encounter. They took photos. He shared them with his teammates the next day in a Snapchat chat. It didn't show her face, but it did reveal her online profile, so she was identified. And the response from several NHL teams has been very clear. At minimum, Arizona Coyotes, Chicago Blackhawks, New York Rangers, Toronto Maple Leafs are believed to be among the teams with no plans to select him under any circumstance. And the list is likely much longer. He has sought biweekly counseling with a licensed psychologist since returning from Sweden. After the incident, the London Knights ordered an independent psychological review on him to determine whether he presented any red flags. The result of the report, which was provided to the Daily Faceoff by him with permission because he was a minor at the time, allowed him to publish medical details. And it said it indicated that he displayed well-developed sport-related mental skills and emotional intelligence. Anyway, the question here is, no doubt it humiliated this young woman and her family. It's wrong. No one is disputing or condoning it. But are we more about rehabilitation, punishment, or revenge? Thoughts on this case? Especially when it went through the court of social media, people are comparing him to a rapist, someone who assaults someone. Your thoughts on this? It's kind of a hot potato. I know, Kathy, we were chatting very briefly yesterday. You said, I have thoughts on this. We'll start with you. Your thoughts on this one.
Oh, boy. So I believe he played for the Canadian. He plays for the Canadians, and he played against the Red Wings.
Yes, he did.
So, I think there's two different things going on here. And I think this is true for a lot of things that come up anymore. But there is what is factually correct or legal or illegal, and then what is virtue signaling around something, right? So for me, would I be excited if my niece or if I had a daughter brought this boy home for Christmas dinner? No, I would not be excited about that on a personal level. I'd be very concerned about it. But on a professional level, what he did was a crime. And it's defamation. Mm-hmm. And he was charged with that. Now, from there, his employers did their due diligence, ran the gamut to put him through some scrutiny determine whether he was going to be a future liability to them. They've determined that he isn't. And I think that that's true for any workplace,
mm-hmm.
that you know, there's a lot of people that commit crimes mm-hmm. and then they have a job after, right? But I think what the issue that people are having with it is that he disrespected a woman.
Right.
And how dare that be tolerated or accepted? And I definitely understand that anger, but at the same time, I feel like it's a strange example to grab onto, because I think like if we're all like let's be if we're all being honest with ourselves, if we excluded all men who defamed women, harassed women, abused women from a job.
There would be, there'd be some slim pickings left.
I'm just saying, it's not like that. Like we have to be realistic here. Yeah. Like this is what he did. I think the virtue signaling side of it around this was an extraordinarily wrong thing for him to have done will follow him his whole life.
Yeah.
But the crime part of it has been dealt with.
Right. He paid some fines to this, defamation fees, I believe, and gone through a lot of that. So court of social media, too, is a big thing, I think.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah. And NHL and hockey in general, that the whole culture has been under huge scrutiny for being toxic and all kinds of issues. So I get it to a sense, but I'm kind of with you on this, too. Not defending remotely him for a moment.
Not
what
at
he
all.
Did. Not for a minute. But
it puts a spotlight on maybe that that culture that needs to change and you know, examples need to continue to be made. But I also wonder how many generations of that culture are going to rest on this kid's shoulders.
Yeah. I wonder that too. And this reminded me different set of circumstances. There was a musician, I won't even name the name. There was a musician who was kind of put under a bunch of scrutiny. Ultimately, what he was guilty of was being a jerk to his girlfriend. He cheated on her. He was not a nice boyfriend. He was a bad boyfriend, but he kind of got lumped in almost with the Me Too movement. And I thought, okay, wait a minute here. He did not abuse. There was no assault. He cheated on her. He was a complete you-know-what. But to be canceled like that for being like, newsflash, a rock and roller cheated on his girlfriend. Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is pretty common comment. But I thought, wow, we're really, it struck me as a bit of that. Not comparing the two, but.
No, I understand.
When you go through the court of social media, I feel like. What was the crime, though, and
what's
the punishment?
This was also 2020 that this happened.
Yes.
It's 2024, and we are still talking about this.
Right.
So I don't think, like I said, I feel like the crime that was dealt with.
Yeah.
And the virtue around his behavior will just chase him forever.
Yeah, I agree. Paul, your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think what we tend to forget, too, is, I mean, think about it, you know, for parents out there, anybody who has a 16 or 17-year-old son,
mm-hmm.
and he was 17 when this happened.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, I remember I was 17 when I joined the Navy, and about all I remember is young, dumb, and stupid.
Mm-hmm.
You're not fully formed in many ways. And then the culture that he was in as well. I mean, over 2020 now is before. A lot more of the sports cultural reckoning it came to the fore.
Right.
A lot of that, you talked about, you know, the London Knights had him undergo a special psychoanalyst and everything else. I mean, the teams kind of sort of seem to be doing the right thing.
I think so. Like,
but what are they doing before these things happen?
Yeah.
I don't see, certainly in male sports, I don't really see that commitment to changing the culture as yet. I mean, we still to this day, we still hear about college hazing incidents in mm-hmm. football and hockey and some of these sports. I mean, the education message isn't getting through. I mean, listen, this guy wasn't Harvey Weinstein. And you're right. This is going to follow him for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
I mean, but at what point? I mean, he did something incredibly stupid, mm-hmm. disrespectful. It happened to be a crime in Sweden. Right. A lot of places in Canada wouldn't have been a crime.
Right.
We have to temper it a little bit. The online stuff is just crazy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are a lot of other examples. Look at Jessica Mulroney.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she lost her entire career. It's been 2-3 years now. I just heard something she's kind of trying to sort of build back. And it's the fact that it's hard to even have an honest discussion about the issue.
Yeah.
Because now if I say something wrong and I may be seen to be defending this gentleman's conduct or whatever, next thing I know, I'm subjected to a flood of comments.
All it takes is a screen cap of that or an audio clip of that that goes viral and there goes,
right.
And it might be misconstrued. Who knows,
it makes
right?
us afraid to have an honest discussion.
Yeah.
That's what's really bad about it. I mean, we need to be discussing these things more, but a lot of people are afraid to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crystal, your thoughts this morning?
I agree 100%. I do not obviously condone anything this young man did. I have a 17-year-old daughter, and, you know, in my head I go, that would be devastating for them to experience something like that. And that young girl and her family are going to live with that for the rest of their life. And then I look at the other side and think, and so is this young man. He's done something incredibly stupid. And he was, I agree with you, the culture he was put in, it's almost as if he thought that's what he had to do to fit in. And so that's on us as a society to say we're doing something wrong. If that's what these young boys are thinking they have to do to fit in and to be part of that group or that culture. I think it's sad that 4 years later it's still being discussed. And I realize we're discussing it because he had his chance.
Right.
He got his chance to play. But I think the negative part is it's the social media. It's the fact that when you read the comments and you see the statements being made, they're wrong. They're flat out wrong. And it's really unfortunate that people are making these comments about this young gentleman that aren't accurate. And he really has no way of defending himself.
Right.
You know, like what he did was wrong, but to label him as, you know, a rapist or a sexual offender or anything
that's
crossing the line.
I think so, too, because those two things, I feel, didn't happen. A huge disrespect, defamation, absolutely. And, you know, I agree. A few people responded to something you said, Paul, saying proactive rather than reactive. And I think that's where we kind of have to be as well. But also a little real talk, too. I think what he did, I think, is so unbelievably common these days.
It is.
Everybody who is sexually active and has a phone, not everybody, but a lot of people do exactly what he did.
And this is, you know, to Crystal's point, this is holding a mirror up to something that is happening. This is not an isolated incident, and it holds a mirror up to that mindset that any of this is okay.
Right.
And I don't know. I feel like there's got to be, you know, how do you change that culture? You know, you make an example of a person here or there, and you try to have these discussions, but it needs to be proactive, and there probably needs to be a little bit more, you know, what is the word I'm looking for? Like when you've got a team and you're a coach or you're running a league or whatever, I don't know. I'm hoping that there's some sort of
etiquette training or not etiquette training, but something.
Some sort of, like, a lot of these kids are taken away from their families and their parents.
Yeah.
So that type of guidance that might be given by parents is maybe absent when they're on the road, or their only guidance that they're getting is their teammates and maybe the coach when he checks in. But is it around?
Right.
Like, is it around those things about relationships and, you know, your the behavioral clauses that will end up ultimately being in your pro contracts, you know, to not besmirch the name of the team or whatever that might be. But there probably should be some education proactive, focused around that behavior.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's a lot of comments on this, too. We're going to talk about this at the 10 o'clock hour, but interesting one, especially with our climate, with hockey, with the Me Too movement, everything, all, it's kind of a perfect storm. And social media is just gasoline on the fire of any situation anymore.
Yeah.
And things become what they are not, even, and that's kind of where they are. But I do think this will be on this guy's record for the rest of his life. I think it will be.
Spitfires themselves, when the ownership changed. I mean, the Windsor Spitfires used to be known across the province as the bad boys team.
I remember,
It had a horrible reputation.
Feeder High School. I was a Feeder High School with the Spits back in the 90s.
When Warren Reichel and the new management took over, I mean, you could see immediately the changing culture.
Yeah.
They went right back to a tradition of, you know, game day, guys show up in suit and tie.
Right.
They immediately went back to old school discipline and rules and regulations. The turnaround with the team was outstanding. And that, you know, that came from the top. That came from the leadership. And they're instilling that same sort of leadership in the players they're training. So it has to be built in. The captains and assistant captains, it's not just about on-ice leadership. It's about off-ice as well. So they have to be teaching these young leaders those sorts of things as well, having the courage to take on something like this when you hear about it. Don't be afraid. Leadership is having courage and stepping forward when you're afraid to. That's what they have to teach.
All the trouble you hear about people getting into because they have phones on them, doing things like this, tweeting out whatever it is, getting busted, cheating because you were texting and a text pops up. It's wild. It's I don't know if the phone is the cause of this or if the phone has just shone a spotlight on things that were always happening. Do you know what I mean? Maybe this was always going on. Now that we have this little instrument, oh, here's who we actually are. Here's the kind of things we're doing. So I don't know where...
It's a spotlight. It's always been going on. Yeah. I mean, I think we're naive to think it wasn't going on, but we're just now... getting it documented
and posted online
for all to see. And you know, the unfortunate thing is, like I said, in this situation, I really do think he paid the fine. He took the penalty. Any other hockey analogy I could come up with, I would. But I think he's done the proper steps, and we need to look at the fact that there are other professional athletes out there who have done way, way worse. And they've been given a second chance, and this kid should also get his second chance.
Take a quick break. We're going to come back in the studio roundtable. We have Paul Sinnott, Kathy Miller, and Krista Milosh. Don't go away. Hey, good morning, and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. Welcome back to the roundtable as well. Mayor Kathy Miller, Mayor Krista Milosh, and from the Daily Bungle, Paul Sinnott. Real quick hit here. I was very sad to see, a few places closing down. I saw the Pressure Drop in Ford City is going to be closing. It's such a great patio. Best day of my summer last year, bar none, was dropped on Droulard. I spent 6 hours, believe it or not, on that Pressure Drop patio, and it was amazing. I think everybody from the local music scene passed through the patio that day. It was incredible, and we had just a wonderful time. I was really, really sad to see them going, but they had a huge hand in transforming Ford City and just making it such a great vibe in that neighborhood. Talk about a revitalization. But also one of my favorite places, and they moved. They used to be closer to my house on Wyandotte. After 30 very successful years, they were a staple. El Mayor Restaurant and Bakery have announced they're going to be closing their doors. So I just thought, props to them. Congratulations on 30 years. I'm very sad to see them go. But what a great run that is. Really quickly, what is a restaurant or a business from the past that you miss and that you maybe have a nostalgic connection to that you think, oh, man, do I miss that place? One of mine is an establishment I used to love so much. They had so many great nights. It was Changes by Night.
Oh, my God, yeah.
it was on Wyandotte. It's now the Homeless Help Center, which is, hey, we need that. But every time I drive by, my heart just kind of goes like, oh, Wednesday night it changes.
$5. Yes.
It was $5. 100%. It was such a great place. Do you have any place, Kathy, that you say, oh, I miss this place?
You know what? I might be dating myself a little bit, but I used to be a pizza maker at Riverside Tavern.
Get out. No way.
Yeah, I did. I loved it there. I was 18, 19. And I worked in the kitchen with... people from all over the world worked there. It was a sports bar. I was always busy. But working there, I get free pizza. I developed a love of pizza there. But I loved their pizza. I loved their sauce. I loved all of it. Right. There was, camaraderie there. And, I was, a part of the family. I think they thought I was just, kind of this lost 18-year-old working in the kitchen with all these people and trying to figure it out. But I loved it, and I saw that they closed earlier this year, and I kind of went, that's too bad. It was just such a great thing.
Yeah.
And also Bablo.
Bablo Island,
I worked there for the last couple years and it was even open. Yeah, and maybe that's a trend with me. Wherever I go, something closes.
great places. Paul, do you have a place that you're, I miss this place?
Yes or no. I mean, I've only lived here, 35 years now?
So
luckily, a lot of places I certainly on the restaurant scene that I truly love are still open and going strong. I mean,
oh, good.
My good friends at Hellenic Sub on Wyandotte, I mean,
still kicking.
Their hours, are much shorter now. They close at 6 o'clock. We used to roll out of there at 4 o'clock in the morning.
I remember
back in the day. Thinking of downtown, I think the Loop's probably one of the biggest ones.
Oh yeah,
what's replaced it is phenomenal.
Beautiful.
What they've done with the building is amazing.
Yep.
But I mean, the Loop certainly catered to a wide variety. Of age groups, of genres, everything else.
You could be
Pogos and everything else.
The coach.
It was quite the cultural scene downtown. And I mean, it was as bad as that building was back then. I mean,
The
washrooms were horrid.
The washrooms leaked, always flooded.
But it was a great place. I mean, it was certainly an icon in the downtown.
Absolutely.
but we have to change and grow.
Yeah, for sure. Good one. Crystal, do you have any places that you're nostalgically connected to?
There's a few. One that's recent is Malik's, which was for the corned beef sandwiches.
Oh my God,
I love those corned beef sandwiches. Yeah. We'd go every St. Patty's Day, make sure we got ours.
Yeah.
We had a restaurant in the South called Chris and Dragos. I don't know if you know.
Oh, I remember Chris and Dragos. Absolutely, yes.
As a young girl, it was a family restaurant, and they were always so kind when you went in, and they had the best grilled cheese sandwiches and rice pudding.
Right.
So I missed that. And then one of my favorite, and like probably what it's because it's all family memories, is the Anderton Tavern.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember.
We
yeah.
used to go as family. Like that would be where you'd go and meet up with other families where your right. parents could still have drinks, but they had live bands and you'd dance and you'd, you know, you were a young kid, but you were allowed to kind of be a part of that scene at
yeah,
the time.
Yep.
And that was, you know, I miss kind of doing that with family, being able to go out and have a good time with kids and everybody.
Totally.
So
yeah. Good ones.
That was a good one.
Well, we always end with a plugged in segment too. We'll go back around starting with you if you like. What would you like to plug in this morning?
I have two things. One's a sure. LaSalle event and one is an event in LaSalle.
Great.
So the first one is our Spring Fling, which is tomorrow at the Event Center on Front Road. And it's from 10 to 2. And we have local performer Cobbler Jay, who will be captivating the crowd with juggling and other
stunts.
Oh,
he's great. I love Cobbler Jay.
Additional performers will include Canadian beatbox champion Scott Jackson and professional circus performer Bex in Motion, along with many more. You can plant seeds with LaSalle Horticultural Society and take those home with you. We'll have the waffle truck, Sweet Wheels, Mojo's Rollin' Taco Truck, and all that on-site offering food and other things that you could purchase. But the event itself is free admission.
Oh, cool.
So it's one of those events we love to offer where families can come out and have some fun, entertainment, and spend the day there. So from 10 to 2. My second event, like I said, it's not a Town of LaSalle event, but it's being hosted in the town today and tomorrow. Mm. And I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but have you heard of Play for a Cure?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Play for a Cure is a fantastic event that was created by Jeff Casey, who is a cancer survivor. And he's combined his love of hockey with raising funds for cancer research endeavors in the Windsor-Essex region. So last night I attended the draft party, and I need to give a huge shout out to Jeff, the entire Play for a Cure team, as well as all the participants, who have this year raised over $400,000.
Wow, amazing.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Absolutely amazing. Wow. So tonight, if you're a hockey fan, it's the All-Star Game hosted at the Vollmer. Tickets are $25. And you'll get to see a chance to see Adam Graves, Gary Roberts, Megan Augusta, Angela James, Tim Taylor, Al Ferret, Mike Krasinski, Mike Knubble, Brandon Proust, Andre Roy, Megan Bozek, and Sammy Joe Small, as well as Andy Delmore and Michael Layton.
Wow.
So lots of big names in there, as well as for social media lovers out there, which we know we have, Pavel Barber and Zach Bell, masters of the trick shot, will go head-to-head at the Woody's Hoodies shootout during intermission.
Sweet.
And then for the last thing, for hockey lovers who can't get to the game tonight, that's okay. There is something called the National Hockey League's United by Hockey Mobile Museum Experience. And that has traveled to all of the NHL cities during this past season, and it's ending in the town of LaSalle. And it's a 53-foot double expandable trailer mobile museum, which contains interactive displays, infographics, full-length display cases containing artifacts from hockey history, celebrating hockey's multicultural trailblazers, changemakers, and business leaders. And the best part, again, is the admission to the mobile museum is free to the public.
Awesome.
So today, the museum's open from 11 to 8, and tomorrow from 10 to 3
Fantastic.
At the Vollmer.
Fantastic. Excellent. Great one. Mayor Miller, what would you like to plug in this morning?
Spring Song Weekend on Pelee Island.
Oh, cool.
The Pelee Island Heritage Center hosts a weekend, typically Mother's Day weekend. This year it's May 10th through 12th. It's their largest fundraising event for the Heritage Center. And it's kind of starts off with a signature banquet that's held at the Pelee Island Winery Pavilion. And,
love that place.
You know, Margaret Atwood has traditionally introduced, brought in authors from around the country and around the world to do readings and to raise money for this event. So if you haven't, if you're a big Margaret Atwood fan, I know she does an event here in Windsor also just around that same time, but the event on Pelee Island is typically sold out pretty quickly, and it's a good laugh, and she does a rubber chicken choir, which you're going to have to look up if you're not familiar.
Yes.
But good luck to everyone at Pelee Island Heritage Center on their Spring Song Weekend, and Congratulations on, I think, 17 years now.
Amazing. Incredible. Yes. Last but not least, you got about 10 seconds, Paul. You're plugged in.
A lot of people may not know the farmer's market has started again. It's not the traditional May 2-4 to like Thanksgiving. I think they're extending their time.
Yes.
I'm not sure what the weather is going to be like tomorrow, but, you know, come on down. Even if anything, come on down, have a coffee and socialize with the people at the market and the businesses, the vendors. Have some fun.
Absolutely. Thank you, Paul, Kathy, Crystal. More on the way. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show on AM 800.